Well, it's a warm welcome back to Australia to, a man who has, I'm sure, enjoyed all his time over here, and that is Murray Walker.
Yeah, it's great to be back. I first came to Australia in 1985 for the Formula One Grand Prix at Adelaide, and then, of course, I came every year until the year I officially retired. I've actually kept going, and I've been back for the Clipsal for the last 4 years, and it's magic. I love it.
Well, you're looking a lot healthier than you did 12 months ago when you came down with was it flu?
I had pneumonia, actually, and you can't come all the way to Australia and then say, I'm very sorry, I don't feel well, so I can't do all the things that you wanted me to do. And I staggered around doing them, and of course that makes you worse. And it took me the best part of the year to get rid of it, but I have got rid of it now, and thank you very much, I feel fine.
Well, one of the things you didn't want to miss out on is... I don't know, is it life membership to Clipsal 500 to Adelaide? It is a gold pass here.
Well, they call it an infinity pass. I've got number 2. I must find out who's got number 1. I do know who's got number 3. And I'm very proud and privileged to have it. Yeah, it takes me anywhere, anytime to any of the V8 supercar meetings. Unfortunately, the Clipsal is about the only one I can get to. I'd love to get to Bathurst again, because I've never actually seen the V8s racing at Bathurst. When I came over for the 2 years I did it, it was for the 2-litre cars, and I was walking around the track, and I thought I'd better find out from one of the locals what they think of it moving from V8s to 2 litres, and I found some grizzled old retainer who'd been watching it for years, and I said, what do you think of the 2 litres then? He said, there are a lot of Chardonnay drinking poofters, Murray. You may have to take that out.
No, we don't. I'm sure we can live with that. Interesting, I remember a quote from you towards the end of your Formula One commentating days. And you said, when you were asked about what you'd be doing next year, you said, oh, I'll be sitting in front of the television and complaining about the commentator. We have had quite a shift in our track commentator this year, and you're joining a new colleague up in the box. What have you thought of your first moments looking at his performance?
Well, I sat next to Paul at a press dinner the other night, and I found him a most engaging companion to talk to, and he obviously knows a hell of a lot about it, and he can obviously talk for Australia. So with that combination of characteristics, I'm sure he'll be absolutely terrific.
With a last name like Marinelli, I'm sure he had a few Formula One questions for you as well.
Yeah, no, we chewed the fat a bit on Formula One and supercars in general, because motorsport's a fabulous, intriguing sport, and it happens worldwide. You generate the most enormous enthusiasm in Australia. They're hoping here at the Clipsal this year to get 300,000 spectators for the first time. They were 18% up on last year on Thursday. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they get the 300,000. And if they do, bearing in mind that there are 20 million people in Australia, roughly, and 60 million people in Britain, roughly, that will be equivalent to having 900,000 people at the British Grand Prix. And that's not going to happen in a million years. The British Grand Prix would be absolutely delighted if it got 100,000 people. So you compare the enthusiasm with racing here and there, and it really is very encouraging.
Talking about that sort of enthusiasm, you've had such a opportunity to go and see so many Grand Prix and motor races in general around the world. Adelaide to Melbourne as a Formula One event, what was the differences that you appeared? I don't need to know which one's better, but what was the differences in attitudes of people that you'd meet in the street and those sort of intangibles?
Well, it's difficult to say one's better than the other. They're very different. We had 11 wonderful years here at Adelaide. Most of us had never been to Australia before. I hadn't been to Australia before. And to be honest, I had to get my Reader's Digest Atlas out and look at it to see where Adelaide was. And so it was a completely new experience to me. But we were all absolutely knocked out with the enthusiasm and the friendliness when we got to Adelaide. And it was immediately obvious that the Grand Prix was tremendously important to the city. Everywhere you went, from the moment you got off the plane at the airport to when you arrived at the hotel, never mind the city streets, you were very clear about the fact that the slogan then was Adelaide Alive. And you were very clear about the fact that Adelaide was alive. And somebody said to me, this is going to put Adelaide on the map. And I said, yeah, I dare say it will put Adelaide on the map. But if I was you, I would want to keep it to myself. I wouldn't want thousands of people coming here because it's a lovely city. So we had 11 wonderful years here. And we were all very sad when we knew it was leaving Adelaide and going to Melbourne, because people don't like change. But when we got to Melbourne, fair dues, they had done an absolutely fantastic job at Albert Park, turned what was a pretty decrepit area into a very interesting and well-kept area. They put on a magnificent Grand Prix, and we were just as pleased to go to Melbourne subsequently as we had been to come to Adelaide originally. If you're asking me personally, which I would prefer, I would prefer Adelaide by a whisker, simply because with Melbourne, and I'm not saying this disparagingly, they have so many big sporting events there that you have a slight tendency to feel that the Grand Prix is this much promotion. You certainly didn't get that feeling at Adelaide. You got the feeling that the Grand Prix and now the Clipsal 500 are the most important things that could possibly happen.
Looking at the way it's going with Formula One, is it looking like we might see the end of the Melbourne Grand Prix, and with that, the Australian Grand Prix?
Well, who knows? I mean, I'm trying to make my mind up whether it's Bernie Ecclestone flexing his muscles to try to make Melbourne have a night race. And maybe get a bit more money in the process, and whether the Victorian government is playing hardball not to have to pay any more money. But sadly, I have to say that it really isn't looking very good, in my opinion. I don't know anything about it from the inside, but if you look at it logically, I can't see Melbourne wearing a night race. They say they lost $44 million last year. I think a conservative estimate to put in a lighting system would be about $20 million. So that's $64 million. Is it going to bring in any more people and make them spend any more money? No, it's not. It's another race. It's going to be fine for people in Europe because they would be able to watch the Australian Grand Prix in daytime and not have to get up in the middle of the night to watch it, which of course everybody in Australia has to do for every race except their own. And I wouldn't think that the Victorian authorities are playing hardball over the money either way. It looks to me, sadly, as though we've got an irresistible force and an immovable object, which is compounded by the fact that Bernie Ecclestone has got Russia with suitcases full of money wanting a Grand Prix. He's got India in the same situation. So it's not going to be impossible or even difficult for him to replace Australia. But from the point of view of Formula One, if Australia came off the calendar, it would be an absolute disaster. Formula One likes coming to Australia more than any other Grand Prix it goes to. And I'm not saying that just because I'm here. And to lose all the attractions of Australia would be, in my opinion, a tragedy. So I'm just keeping my fingers crossed and hoping it doesn't happen.
Tony Cochran once famously said there's no sacred cows in V8 supercar racing when he was referring to racetracks here. Is there sacred cows in Formula One, and should there be?
Well, in what sense do you mean?
Well, he was talking about Bathurst. If Bathurst is ridiculous, we won't go to Bathurst. If the Melbourne Grand Prix last year, for example, they didn't take the cars to.
Well, it depends. I mean, let's just take supercars. I think it would be a tragedy, and that's a word I use very seldom, if either the Clipsal 500 or the Bathurst 1000 dropped off the calendar. They're great, traditional, historic events. which generate enormous enthusiasm and command gigantic audiences. As far as Formula One is concerned, I think there are some sacred cows. Naturally, as an Englishman, I think the British Grand Prix is sacrosanct. It was the first Formula One Grand Prix of all in 1950. I think the Italian Grand Prix at Monza is sacrosanct. I used to think the German Grand Prix at the Nürburgring was sacrosanct, but it dropped off the calendar for safety reasons. So, yes, broadly, I think there are sacrosanct events, but not if they don't command good spectator attendances and not if they're not profitable or financially acceptable to whoever is promoting them. So it's a sort of yes and no answer. Yes, from the point of an enthusiast. No, from the point of view of a hard-nosed businessman.
So, Murray, you talked about your pseudo-retirement. What do you do in between Clipsal 500s to entertain and amuse yourself?
Well, I mean, when I retired, in quotes, what I did was to stop commentating for television on all the Formula One Grand Prix. And I didn't want to stop. I stopped because I'm literally an old man and because I wanted to stop with dignity when I felt I was ahead rather than behind and when people were saying the old fool's passed it and he should jack it in. Now, I did that. I could have gone on and I would like to have gone on, but I have continued doing odd things. I mean, I was part of the Channel 7 team for the Australian Grand Prix last year and the year before. I did the European Formula One Grand Prix for BBC Radio this year. I did the MotoGP in Britain for BBC Radio this year. I did the Race of Champions, which is this fantastic event at Wembley with five different cars and drivers like Michael Schumacher, David Coulthard, Sebastian Vettel, Sebastian Bourdais, Matthias Ekstrom, all racing identical cars, and they dumped 4,000 tons of tarmac on the hallowed new Wembley pitch, and we had a fabulous meeting. So I'm still doing things. I do after dinner speeches, I do corporate events. I'm Honda's Formula One ambassador, which takes me to not all the events, but a lot of them. I do talks on cruise ships. I've just written another book. Will that keep you going for the time being? It's keeping me going for the time being.
Could I take you back to broadcasting Grand Prix on the radio? Being a radio man and having a love of radio, I feel that motorsport on the radio, with the exception of the United States, has completely disappeared. The BBC is still trying to wave the flag for road racing outside of America, but you just don't hear a quality radio broadcast in general for motorsport these days. Would you perhaps disagree with me there?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for Australia because I'm only here for a short period every year, so I don't know what does go on Australian radio. But from where I come from Britain, from England, the BBC actually does a pretty good job. They broadcast the British Touring Car Championship. They do superbikes. They do MotoGP. They do very, very full coverage on all the Formula One events. Terrific coverage. In fact, they do more coverage on Formula One on BBC Radio than they do on BBC Television. So you may be unfortunate in Australia, but we are very fortunate in Britain. So maybe you better turn around and come and see us.
It's a completely different craft, isn't it, to paint the picture for the radio listener than the television?
Yeah, with radio, you have to bear in mind that they can't see what you're talking about, which is what people with television sets can do, and you therefore need to keep talking, and that's certainly what formed my commentary style. And I found it very difficult. I didn't find it very difficult. I found it bloody impossible when I went from radio to television not to talk all the time, partly because that was the way I had been trained and partly because I was passionately enthusiastic about it and I got adrenaline pouring out of me by the bucketful. But I used to have a producer screaming at me through my headphones, "Pause, Murray, pause." Let them absorb the pictures, and I would pause for about 10 seconds and then go rattling off again. But there you go.
Was the biggest innovation in your television coverage the in-car camera?
Yeah, I suppose it has to have been. And we were conscious of in-car cameras from Australia in general, and the Bathurst 1000 in particular, years before they were used in Formula One and anything else. Australia pioneered the use of the in-car camera. And we used to get the Bathurst 1000 in Britain, and we used to sit and marvel at how fantastic it was that you could be seeing the driver at work, and the camera would swivel around and look through the back window, and you could see who was pursuing you. And it's a great technical development which has transformed motor racing coverage.
Where do you think motor racing can go? Is there anything you think that, gee, I'd like to have seen that tried? I know you're an advertising man, so obviously outside the box is where you often think.
Well, you mean where is it going in the future, or what have I missed in the past?
No, where do you think it could go that perhaps no one else is seeing that you, or even now, what's not being done that you think could be a great thing to do or to try?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm a Formula One man. I'm a touring car man. That just about does it for me. I mean, I can get GP2 at home, I can get Formula 3 at home, I can get the British Touring Car Championship, I can get the World Touring Car Championship, I can get the Indy Racing, you can get everything these days. I mean, there is an embarrassment of riches if you've got those electronic gimmicks called radios and television sets. You can spend the whole of every day watching motorsport somewhere. And I think that's fabulous.
Well, Murray, it's been a pleasure to catch up with you, and we look forward to seeing you back here as many years as you care to join us.
Thank you very much. I just hope you're right, because I love it here.